Pleasure to work with you, ma'am.
Darn pleasure to work with you, ma'am.
Pleasure to work with all of you. It really is. And work is not the word that really describes what goes on here. When I answered the call of my heart to be at Unity of Wimberley, I couldn't even guess at that point how fulfilling it would be to be here. You work your entire career, your entire vocation, and you want to do what fills your heart. And it feels like all the years that I was a minister before I came here was preparation for that complete fulfillment that I experience here. And in working with Kit and the synergy that we have with each other, the incredible support of the staff and the volunteers here, the amazing way that you have risen to your own potential, the way that you have practiced your gifts is everything that a spiritual leader could hope for. And so I thank you for saying yes to me and saying yes to Kit so that we could come to you and do what we love to do and to listen continually to the song in our hearts and be an expression of that. Thank you for everything that you do to inspire us. So I always love Easter. I know I said that about Palm Sunday, and I probably said that about Christmas, and I think I said it maybe about Mother's Day and Father's Day and 4th of July. So, But I do love this holiday because every year something new is revealed to me about Easter, and I hope it is for you too. We had an interesting discussion at my house last night with my two sons. Their dad was born on Good Friday, and they didn't know how that could be because obviously Easter is not on March 28th because Bill's birthday is March 26th. And I said, well, Easter's different every year. They went, oh, no. I said, what kind of preacher's kids are y'all that you didn't get that Easter's different every year? And their logic was very sound, well, Christmas is the same every year, and Halloween is the same every year, 4th of July, obviously. And I said, oh, but they determine it by the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox. And one of my boys said, that's too many clauses. That's too many conditional things. But you see, you can't say this in every church, but in Unity, I think we're free to say this. You know that a lot of our major Christian holidays are based on traditions that did not originate with Jesus. So we can look at what have been called pagan traditions. I prefer to call earth religion. A lot of the holidays that are celebrated in Christianity were coordinated to fit with rituals and ceremonies and beliefs that were already present in the countries to which Christianity traveled. And so, yes, there are a lot of connections. But what could be more earth religion than the vernal equinox and the full moon? And so, so we have that. This also, Easter also coordinates with Passover, which ends today. And Passover is a Jewish tradition to celebrate and honor the night in which the Hebrews that were in Egypt, the Israelites that were in Egypt, were passed over by the angel of death. And that was the final act before the Pharaoh released the children of Israel to go free under the direction of Moses. At least that's what's in the scripture. So we celebrate, if you were with me for the Facebook Live presentation on Thursday, I talked about Maundy Thursday, which is the day in which Jesus celebrated the Passover meal, what is called in Christianity the Last Supper or Communion, on Thursday, was crucified on Friday, and today is the day of the resurrection. And I want to say this to you. You do not have to believe that everything occurred exactly as it is in the scripture. You don't have to believe every single thing literally. But the story itself is important to understand because of everything that it symbolizes. It symbolizes a connection to people that were pre-Christian. It symbolizes a connection to Judaism, which is the root from which we sprang. And so there are a lot of reasons to be able to understand that require us to understand what Easter is about. And of course, we teach that the resurrection, as you heard today in the Daily Word, the resurrection is about what we go through as a renewal process all the time. This holiday is but one day in which we remember that. So I'd like to share with you from John how this story went. And I like the telling in John because it has a little more mysticism to it. And don't we love mysticism? So this is from John 20, after Jesus was laid to rest. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from that tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, which we think was John, the one whom Jesus loved, which we think was John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And I will say parenthetically that this is such great writing, because there was a little bit of competition there between Peter and the writer of this gospel. Just letting you notice that. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. They saw the linen wrappings there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and when he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their houses. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "You've heard this earlier today. They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. Well, there is a lot, as they say, to unpack in this. In other tellings of the scripture, the women went there and they saw what had happened. And they were amazed. They didn't know what to make of it. In this telling of the scripture, the angels speak to her, and then Jesus speaks to her. And I want to focus just for a moment on the fact that Jesus said, "Don't touch me yet, for I've not ascended to the Father." I just want to give you kind of a spiritual idea of what might have happened then. Many of you have had experiences in which you have felt or known the presence of one who has passed beyond this life. I like to think that Jesus lived at such a high vibratory level that it was possible that he manifested his presence in a way that was not tangible, yet it had the qualities of a life. That could happen. That could happen. But on the other hand, I'd also like to think that in this teaching, Jesus, or the writer of John, the writer of the book of John, was saying that the process of resurrection may be a gradual thing. We take it on in stages. There was death, and then there was beyond death, and then there was the manifestation. And we know that later on in the scripture, Jesus ate and drank with his friends. He was able to have a physical body. Again, you don't have to believe this. But if we look at it symbolically, if we look at it metaphysically and spiritually, this would show us the different phases of our resurrection, of our renewal. There are a lot of times in our lives when we have a moment of epiphany, where we are fully flooded with the truth and we are absolute about it. But more often in our daily lives, the truth becomes a dawning awareness to us. It has stages of becoming more real and more livable. And so I would like to think that even beyond death, Jesus was teaching in this way. He was saying, look at how I'm doing this. Keep looking at me and look to the Father. Look to God. Look to Spirit. I'm not fully yet assimilating everything. And you will go through this experience as well. Until you have come into fulfillment in whatever it is you're going through your renewal about. I would also like to say this. In traditional Christian teaching, we're taught that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will be saved, that Jesus died in order that our sin is forgiven. So we have reframed that so that we know that without a doubt there is life beyond death. And we know also that Jesus, living a human life and an integrated spiritual life, went through the same process that we will all go through. We will all leave this physical body at some point. But he showed that there is life beyond that. And he showed that despite his death, the living truth that he brought to humanity continued and continued and continued. Now, Jesus knew that, and I spoke about this last Sunday, Jesus knew that going into Jerusalem, he was going to be in some trouble. We know that when he was preparing a place to have that Passover meal with his friends, it was in a hidden location so that they wouldn't be found. And so he knew that something was up. As a matter of fact, at that last meal, he told Judas, he told the gathered body there, one of you is going to betray me. Judas, go do what you need to do. because that was part of the whole plan. He knew he was going to die. So did he sacrifice himself so that we might know the truth? Yeah, I think so. He was so willing to tell the truth that death did not matter to him. He was so sure of his life beyond his body that he was willing to go there. Now, let's put that in the context of this last year that we've gone through. We've had to give up a lot. We've had to surrender to a lot. But I would ask you this, in the context of Easter, in the context of the story, have we really sacrificed or have we been inconvenienced? Plenty of inconveniences. And yet, in order for us to get the profound nature of Easter, we have to examine what real sacrifice is about. Are you willing enough to know and hold on to the truth that you can let go of anything that is not that? That's sacrifice. That is true sacrifice. And if there's ever been a year that makes us dig down really deep, I'm talking about to the roots of our being, to examine ourselves, to ask ourselves some hard questions, it's been this last year. We've had to redefine what community is about. You know, even in those last hours, Jesus was abandoned by his friends, betrayed by his friends. He was denied by his friends. And yet he stuck to the truth. And so I would ask you, despite the inconveniences, are you still reaching out in your heart to your community? Are you reaching out in your heart with the truth? Are you letting go of old attitudes and old ways of thinking and behaving that have always run you right into a wall? Are you doing that? I know I'm trying. I'm trying. And I have, conveniently, I say, almost facetiously, surrounded myself with people who will make sure that I do that. To keep me on my truth toes. To make sure that I am living from a place of integrity, transparency, compassion, selflessness. Still working on that one. Because we live our lives about me, 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 don't we? How many times do we find ourselves living right in the center of our universe and just letting everybody orbit around us? Yikes. That's the antithesis of what we're about in the spiritual life, isn't it? It's the paradox of living fully in ourselves to give the gifts that we have to the world, to share what is best in us with the world, to know the presence of God in the middle of the night. And yet to remain humble and willing and acknowledge our brokenness. Acknowledge that we no longer have the luxury of projecting our stuff onto other people? If we can't look at those questions, then what was Jesus' life about? Why did this man come and leave truths that are still relevant today? I mean, if we're going to have a real Easter, we have to honor that, don't we? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he died that way, if he somehow magically the rock rolled away from in front of the tomb. It doesn't matter. Whatever he did, the difference that he made has lasted over 2,000 years and inspires millions of people. We don't practice it very well in some places and in some ways. Nevertheless, we are called to that and called to that and called to that. Not just today, one decision, I'm done, but throughout the day and the next day and the day after that and the day after that. And if we tried to do it by ourselves, it would be so hard. But luckily, we have within us the same thing that urges us to be transformed is there to assist us in that transformation. Amen. That's what Easter is about. So, beloved, if your heart is heavy, if you got something on your mind, if you're not feeling at ease in your body, if you're mad, whatever is going on in your life today, there's a living stream of truth that runs in you that is the answer, the comfort, the inspiration, the healing, and the will to move forward. Notice how you feel in your body when you're stuck. And notice how you feel in your body when you get unstuck. I got to think that's what was going on with Jesus when he said, Mary, don't touch me yet. I was kind of stuck in a human body. It was time for me to move on. I haven't fully assimilated this other body yet, but man, it's light. You can almost see through me. Can we be that light? Can we be light enough that people can almost see through us? Can we be light enough that we have something about us that other people want? They want that peace. They want that satisfaction. They want that generosity. They want all those spiritual qualities that we are taught that we have. Am I preaching? Okay. Well, I guess that was the intention. It's Easter and all, you know. Sometimes, you know, you get a bigger audience on Easter, so y'all are getting it today. I want to share with you, we've been studying this little book throughout the Lenten season called Release and Renew. Huh. Kind of what we've been talking about. So at the end of his life, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He never forgot, even in the moments of extremity, he never forgot who he belonged to, who he was part of, and who was part of him. So the lesson for this last day, Easter, the word is surrender. Jesus' life and death were an absolute demonstration of surrender. It was an absolute demonstration of faith and unconditional love. His final teaching in the seventh living word, surrender, is his resurrection. Surrender is resurrection. Do you get that? Surrender is resurrection. Surrender contains within it all the support and guidance you need for your journey of transformation, the return to God, your greatness. When it comes to this final living word, we need to remember something essential. We have to live in surrender. If you were here in the room with me, I'd have you write this down and underline it. We have to live in surrender. It is not a one-time deal, if only it were. Over many years of practice, we deepen our understanding, willingness, and experience of surrender. Surrendering is a process that is infinite, and there are always deeper layers to dive into until enlightenment is reached. Folks, if you're hearing this as a message of, oh, no. No, this is the message of hope. This is the path. Surrender can and should be joyful, because ideally, there is enough of a foundation of faith and understanding to joyously let go. Yeah, I don't usually do it that way. Why then does surrender feel so difficult? Surrender to the eyes of the world looks very unappealing. When at all costs, especially in this country, has become a standard for everything from business deals to wars. It perpetuates the illusion of separation and the false belief of enemies and us versus them. We can't live that way anymore, my friends. It is an upside-down world in a lot of ways. That's why when our spirituality calls us to surrender all that we are, all that we believe ourselves to be, and all that we hope to become for the greater glory of all, which is the revelation of God through us, many of us quickly back up and try to renegotiate the rules. Bargaining with God, you know that one? Think about this. What are you surrendering to? You're surrendering to the God that you defined in the beginning of this journey. It's now time to own your idea of a God that is so powerfully and completely for you that nothing can ever be against you. The relief of surrendering to God completely is phenomenal. It is the greatest spiritual practice and the most important one in our journey of transformation. All we're seeking is to know God in and as our life. All our spirit truly wants is to experience the kingdom of heaven. Now, as you surrender to that small, still voice, you shall see. You shall see love that has no conditions. You shall see joy that has no bounds. You shall see peace that is beyond understanding. You shall see the kingdom of heaven. This is the will of God. And so, beloved, breathe with me. Breathe for yourself. I was reading today that the Navy SEALs are starting to teach that breathing where you breathe in to the count of four, hold it to the count of four, let it out to the count of four, wait to the count of four, breathe in again. It's a block. It's a four-sided breathing technique. It's not new to yoga, but it's being taught to the Navy SEALs to reduce their stress. And so if the Navy SEALs can do it, I bet we can too. So breathe. This has been a tough year, my friends. However we find solace, it is a manifestation of God. I'm talking about true solace, the kind that lets us sleep and relax and be healed and be comforted. Breathe. And I would guess that during this talk today, you might have thought of some things that are due for surrender, and they pop to the top of your mind because it's time. And the other part of your mind may be saying, no, no, I need to hang on to that for a little while longer. And yet, there is that in us that says, no, beloved, let's move on and forward and upward and outward. So yes, even that thing. If you're willing, take that which you are ready to surrender, that which you are ready to let go of, and just hold it and hand it over. If you do it with confidence, great. If you do it with just a little bit of, oh, I'm not sure, your willingness is enough. And notice that parts of you start to relax a little bit. And there may be a little bit of fear there, but I'm guessing that it's more a little bit of excitement about the unseen possibilities that await you. Keep breathing. You are a child of the Most High. You are Spirit's very own. And that which created you is fully invested in your wholeness. It already exists, and it is coming into expression. Today is a day of celebration. If there are children in your life, they're celebrating. What if we took on that innocent joy as our renewal process? Even the outward symbols of this day, bunnies and eggs and lilies, they are signs of fertile new life. Beloved, I reach my hand out to you to support you and be with you as we journey together. Know that that support, not just from me, from all of us and from Spirit, is unwavering. Unwavering. Draw your strength from that which already lives within you, and draw your strength from your brothers and sisters that desire the same thing that you do. Full knowledge of living Spirit. And now, if you will, bring your hands together. Humility. Gratitude, right here, in two hands. Humility and gratitude. We're doing with our bodies that which matches what's going on inside us. Humility and gratitude, and now open your hands to all the blessings. They are yours. They are full and free. And so, beloved, on this holy day, I greet you and bless you and love you in the name of the living Christ Spirit. I behold you. And all is well. All is well. All is well with your soul. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world, all is well with your soul. And so it is. And so it is. Amen.